All right, we're going to be talking about wild hogs and unruly women tonight. So, Proverbs 11 and verse 22. The reason why I said that, well, we actually are, but
yes, that's true.
But I had found it was a paddle in a thrift store one time. It said the Arkansas Board of Corrections for wild hogs and unruly women or something like that. Right. So anyway, but yeah, that's what the proverb is talking about tonight. Proverbs 11 and verse 22 says, as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. Let's look at the first half of that. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout. Now, normally I define the words, but I think the words are all pretty much self-explanatory. You know what a jewel is, you know what gold is, you know what a swine is, a pig, and it snouts his nose, so I don't think that I need to define all those terms for you. So if we look at what the Bible has to say about swine, and then just think about like an earring or a nose ring in its snout, then you kind of get the impression of how ridiculous this would look, and especially given the fact that in the Old Testament pigs were considered to be unclean animals, so this would be like a sign of utmost disgust, where you take an animal that the Jews weren't even supposed to touch or eat or anything, and then say put a jewel in that thing's nose, and that's what God thinks about a fair woman without discretion. So, but first of all, let's just look at a few verses here which show us that in the Old Testament that pigs or swine were unclean animals. In Leviticus 11 and verse 7, in this day that we're reading about here, the Jews were not permitted to eat pigs. They were part of the unclean animals that were forbidden by the law of Moses. Leviticus 11 and verse 7 says, and the swine, though he divide the hoof and be cloven-footed, yet he cheweth not the cud, he is unclean to you. So the swine has a foot like a cow or like a deer or like a clean beast, where it's split, but he doesn't chew the cud, and therefore did I get that right? He does not chew the cud, and therefore he's unclean. Anyway, that's really immaterial. The point is that the swine was an unclean animal. And the Jews, at various times in their history, and one of them here is in Isaiah 65, they disregarded this commandment, like they did a lot of them. And here the Lord is chastising them because they were eating swine. And this was considered an abomination in God's eyes. In Isaiah 65 and verse 4, it says, which remain among the graves and lodge in the mountains, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things is in their vessels. So God considered swine's flesh to be abominable, which is a feeling of combined disgust and hatred. So for whatever reason, God did not like swine. So going back to the proverb here, he's comparing a fair woman without discretion to a swine or a pig that has a golden jewel in his nose or her nose, trying to make him look clean and pretty when there's nothing that's going to make that thing look clean and pretty. So it is with a fair woman which is without discretion. Let me just give you another couple of verses from Isaiah 66 just to really drive this point home that pigs were considered unclean animals. Isaiah 66 and verse 3 says, he that killeth an ox as he that slew a man, he that sacrificeth a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck, he that offereth an oblation as if he offered swine's blood, he that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. So their religion to God was just, it was unclean. You know, it's like you slay an ox for the sacrifice, it's like you murdered a man. God doesn't, he's not going to accept that. And you offer a lamb, it's like you cut off a dog's head. Right? That's not going to be acceptable to God. and you offer an oblation, which is a sacrifice. It's like you offered swine's blood, right? So, their religion was so polluted that even if they did the right thing, it would be considered defiled in God's eyes. Verse 17, they that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh, and the abomination and the mouse shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. So that's just a bunch of verses there just to really drive home the fact that God considered swine to be unclean. And Jesus used swine as an example to illustrate the point that you wouldn't want to share the holy gospel with people that would not receive it, that would disrespect it, that would speak against it, blaspheme it. You don't cast your pearls before swine, Jesus said. And Matthew 7 and verse 6, he said, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. So in the same way that you, of course, wouldn't give pearls to a swine, you don't give something that is blessed and beautiful like the gospel or even like correction to somebody who's just going to turn again and try to, you know, use it against you, counter accuse and things like that. And he's really speaking in this passage in the context here of judging another. You know, you make sure you take the beam out of your own eye and then you take the speck out of your brother's eye. But if you know your brother isn't going to receive that, and it's going to be like casting pearls before swine, don't even bother, because he's just going to turn again and rend you. So if you think about just what's just big picture here, a jewel of gold is unfitting for a pig. And you just imagine it for a second. Get the picture in your head. Imagine a pig. We've all seen pigs, right? And imagine him in that big old snout having a diamond or a ruby of gold in its snout. Think about what that would look like. It would look ridiculous, totally out of place, right? And not only that, if you met the guy that put that in the swine's snout, you probably think he's a foolish idiot, right? Who would do that, right? Who would put a jewel of gold in the swine's snout? It'd be a waste of something that's beautiful and something that's relatively ugly. Relatively ugly brute beast. I mean, pigs are kind of cute sometimes, but not cute in the sense of putting an earring in his nose, right? That's just not cute at all. And it would just make, it would even make the pig look stupid. Not only would it make, you know, the person that did it look stupid, but it's not going to make the pig look any better at all. As a matter of fact, it's going to make the pig look even worse. Even though he has a really costly stone in his nose, it would actually make him look worse than if he had no stone in his nose, right? Well, so it is with a fair woman that's without discretion. That's what the second half of the verse goes on to say. Now, the second half opens up with the word so, which is an adverb, and when it's placed at the beginning of a clause with continuative force, and frequently preceded by and, it means denoting similarity or parallelism in some respect between two facts, actions, etc. So is basically equating two things here. It's showing a similarity or a parallelism. So in the same way that a jewel of gold in a swine's snout would look stupid and ridiculous and out of place, so in the same way is it with a fair woman who's without discretion. Excuse me. A fair woman is a woman who's beautiful to the eye, of pleasing form or appearance, good looking. And a woman, and the reason I define this is because we live in a culture today where people don't know what a woman is. There's a documentary I mentioned to you the other day, What is a Woman? And he goes and he asks people, what's a woman? They couldn't tell him. They didn't know what a woman was. Rather astounding. So a woman, in case you didn't know, there's a lot of confusion about this. A woman is an adult female human being. And a female is belonging to the sex which bears offspring. So if you put it together, a woman is an adult human being belonging to the sex that bears offspring. Now, I know that's probably shocking information. Your mind's just blown. But it would be for a lot of people. By the way, just a quick side note here. I was telling Eric about this. Pastor Boffy sent me this interview from Matt Walsh. He was interviewing a guy. Can't remember the guy's name. Ryan something, I think it was. And this guy is on I think he was a county commissioner or something on the county board. And apparently he was just sick and tired of all this woke transgender stuff. And to make a point, he announced to the council publicly that he now identifies as a woman. What was it? A woman of color, a lesbian woman of color. He identifies because he does have some Indian blood way back, you know, many, many generations ago. So he's a person of color. He identifies as a woman, and he still is madly in love with his wife and always will be, and therefore, being a woman of color, madly in love with his wife, he's also a lesbian. So he's a lesbian woman of color, identifies. And, of course, he infuriated people with this, and he was really playing it up and telling him he identifies and such, and he changed his name from, I think his name was Ryan, he changed his name from Ryan, R-Y-A-N, to Ryan, R-Y-A-N, the woman version of Ryan. So his name used to be Ryan, the man version, now it's Ryan, the woman version. So changed his name, and they were really upset about this, and he had people on both sides addressing him, and some man telling him how brave this woman of color is, and it's so wonderful to have the first lesbian woman of color as a member of the county board here, and this has never happened again, and he was so thankful for it, and da da da, and of course just mocking the whole thing, right? And then he had an actual transgender, it was a man dressed up as a woman or whatever. I mean, this guy thinks he's a woman, but this guy was just furious, and he's mocking us, and he doesn't even go by female gender or female pronouns or whatever, and so anyway, I mean, the whole thing was hilarious. Well, then Matt Walsh's interview with the guy, they did it like it was a real, like one of these serious sit down interviews, you know, with a media type or whatever, and it was just done so well, and these guys somehow managed to not even hardly crack a smile through the thing. It was done like it was perfectly serious, and Matt Walsh keeps referring to the guy as, you know, she's so brave, and she's come out and come out of three closets at one time, and like all this stuff. And it was just hilarious. And it was just great. I mean, they totally kept a straight face, and so I should send it to you, get a kick out of it. But anyway, that's why I wanted to define what a woman was for you, just in case if you didn't know. So is a fair woman, which is without discretion. Discretion is the action of separating or distinguishing, or condition of being distinguished or disjunct. Separation, disjunction, distinction. Now, this word is with many words, has several major categories of definition. The second category, like the second primary definition, is the action of discerning or judging, judgment, decision, discrimination. And then the third category is ability to discern or distinguish what is right, befitting, or advisable, especially as regards one's own conduct or action. The quality of being discreet, discernment, prudence, sagacity, circumspection, sound judgment. So a woman without discretion is a woman without judgment, without prudence, without wisdom, doesn't know how to discern what is right and befitting and advisable, doesn't know how to do the right thing. She's a foolish woman, and the Bible bears this out. And the definition here would bear that out. So a foolish woman is a woman who is fool-like, wanting in sense or judgment. And remember, discretion is sound judgment. So a woman without discretion is by definition a foolish woman. And the Bible has some things to say about a foolish woman. One thing is Proverbs 9:13, that a foolish woman is clamorous, which means she's loud and mouthy. Proverbs 9 and verse 13. we've been over this verse here, I don't know, several months ago. It says, a foolish woman is clamorous, which means noisy, loud, or shouting. She is simple and knoweth nothing. But the fact that she doesn't know anything doesn't stop her from talking about a lot of things that she doesn't know and doing so loudly. I remember, I think it was, I heard from Fred Hodgins that I think somebody, his father, somebody told him that they that know the least know it the loudest. And I thought that was, you know, pretty sage advice. Now, such a woman as this is not attractive, but is rather repulsive and repellent. Even if she's physically attractive, her lack of discretion and her lack of wisdom is just kind of, it totally colors her to the point where even if there is something physically attractive about her, it overpowers that physical attraction and she's not attractive. Let me just give you a few verses here in Proverbs describing such a woman. Proverbs 21 and verse 9. Proverbs 21 and verse 9 says, it is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. And that brawling woman pretty much matches right up there with the clamorous woman, loud, shouting, argumentative, right? And Solomon says here, it's better to dwell in the corner of the housetop, which would be like up in the attic. It's like if you go up your upstairs bedroom and you walk back in that area there with the rafters, if you had a woman like that, you want to stick her like way back in there, and so you can't hear her, hopefully, and maybe insulate all the walls and everything so it doesn't come through. Verse 19, Proverbs 21:19 says, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. So he starts off saying, put her in the attic, and he's like, you know what, you can still hear her in the attic. Better to go to the wilderness. Like, go way out in the woods so you can't hear her anymore. Oh, yeah, yeah, right, yeah, good point, yeah, he would be up in the corner of the housetop trying to get away from her. It would accomplish the same thing, but yeah, good point. And then Proverbs 25:24. Proverbs 25:24. It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. It's pretty much the same as the other one. There have been men that have made man caves way off in the corner of the house somewhere to try to get away. You wouldn't want to be married to somebody like that. Now, a woman without discretion will often end up being a whore. You look in Proverbs 7 and verse 10. Now, maybe not every time, but that when you find a whore, you definitely found one without discretion. And if you lack discretion, you can easily go down that pathway. Proverbs 7 and verse 10 says, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. And then look at what it says there. She's loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Remember, the foolish woman is clamorous. Foolish woman's loud, stubborn, right? And look at what this woman ends up being here. So despite her physical allure, she's not truly attractive. Like I said, loud, stubborn, and impudent, which is shameless. There in verses 12 through 13. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him. So she's wanting in shame or modesty. She just doesn't, that kind of behavior doesn't bother her at all. Because she has no discretion, no discernment. She doesn't realize what's right, what's good. That kind of woman there, though she's pretty, it's kind of like putting a jewel of gold in a swine's snout. A pretty face on a woman who lacks discretion is as unbecoming as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout. I'm just going to read what I wrote here. In a similar way that a jewel of gold in a swine's snout is unfitting for a pig, looks ridiculous and out of place, and is a waste of something beautiful, so it is with a beautiful woman who lacks discernment judgment, and good decision-making with regards to what is right, befitting, and advisable concerning her own conduct. A pig with a nose ring might look attractive to a brute boar following his instinct when the sow is in heat, but she's not going to look attractive to a rational person. Just as a golden nose jewel in a pig's snout does not make the pig attractive, so a beautiful face does not make a foolish woman look attractive to a good man. Now, maybe to a brute beast of a man she would look attractive, but not to a good man. A good man is going to be turned off by that lack of discretion, even if she is pretty. It's rather good character and virtue, not just a pretty face, which makes a woman truly attractive. And Solomon had something to say about that, too, in Proverbs 31 and verse 30. He said, "Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." See, the contrast there is that a woman that fears the Lord is much more desirable than a woman who has favor. Maybe she's physically beautiful, has a nice figure, or has beauty. She's got a pretty face. The woman that fears the Lord is to be preferred by a good man anyway. And then Peter talked about this in 1 Peter 3, 3 through 4, where he taught Christian women here that their true beauty should come from what is inside, not what's on the outside. 1 Peter 3, 3 through 4. He says, "Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands." So that's a truly beautiful woman, a woman that has a meek and quiet spirit, a woman that fears the Lord, a woman that has discretion and wisdom, that keeps God's commandments and tries her best to obey and to please the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a truly attractive woman. No amount of jewelry, makeup, or fine clothing will make an indiscreet woman attractive. Just like that jewel of gold in the swine's snout is not going to make that pig look more attractive, neither is anything else that a woman could do outwardly if she has indiscretion in her heart and life. So that takes care of that verse, and we'll definitely have enough time for the next one tonight.
Just a quick note at the end of the sermon. The most important thing a believer in Jesus Christ can do is to be a member of one of God's true churches. If you're not already a member of one, go to pastorwagner.com/churches to see if there is a true church or other believers of like faith near you. That's pastorwagner.com/churches.